Welcome to Sparks from God's Heart, the Hearts of Fire International podcast, where we feature apostolic and prophetic words and teachings from the fivefold ministry of Steve and Varva Allen. If you would like to follow along as you listen, you can find study notes on our website at heartsoffireinternational.com, then clicking on Heartbeats. Remember, after Jesus appeared to his disciples on the Emmaus Road, they remarked, "Did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us and opened the scriptures to us?" As you listen to this message, we pray that sparks from his heart will kindle a fresh fire in your heart as well. Now, here's Steve and Varva.
Well, we're going to do something a little bit different. Different is good. Okay. We're going to show you how to do inner healing today. Okay? So, Steve and I are going to be the healers, and we're going to have a person here that we will heal of whatever the Lord shares with us. We are not the healers. He works through people. Okay? So I'm going to call out something, and if somebody has this, we're going to start with this. If not, we have some people who we've already talked to who will volunteer. But is anybody, I'm not looking for an illness necessarily. I'm looking for back, neck, or knee pain. If you have chronic back, neck, or knee pain, if you would just raise your hand. Good. Okay, you're first. So here's how inner healing works in an inner healing session. This is how it works. First of all, I want to say healing can be done many ways. We actually have somebody here that, when he feels led of the Lord, works in miracles, signs, and wonders. Yeah. And he knows that miracles happen instantly. There are some of the others in here probably working that as well. We just happen to know for sure that one does. Healing can work instantaneously. Healing can work through inner healing. Inner healing is usually done when someone has something, and we've been teaching this for the past, 7 weeks? When somebody has something that doesn't go away, and we're going to call out some of those things today that sometimes don't go away. And then we work with that person to get rid of whatever it is that doesn't go away. It can be things like chronic pain. It could be a loss, a death of someone that you just can't get over. It can be going through a breakup, a messy divorce, or just a divorce. It can be because I'm an empty nester for the first time and I don't know what to do with it. It can be I fight all the time with my spouse. You name it, inner healing can pretty much reach anything. And we work in twos. The reason for it is because you're working with an individual who needs help. You are trying to hear from God while this person, and you'll see in a minute, I'm going to ask her some questions. While this person is originating what's going on, at the same time, I have to tune in and hear from God. So it's kind of like having a three-way connection. But then there's a very key ingredient to all this, your partner. And in this case, Steve's going to be my partner, which he is quite often. A lot of times I work on Zoom. He's in another room. He doesn't hear what's going on because the Zoom room is closed up. But his job is to pray. There have been times where he has opened the door and said, "Spirit of whatever," or "This is a problem," or "That is a problem." Because while he's praying, he's picking up from God anything that I'm missing. Or if I'm questioning, a lot of times he picks up something and it's like, "Yeah, I thought that was it, so let's go for that." So you need a prayer partner. Sometimes if that prayer partner is working with you, and the way we choose to do it is if I'm working with a male, Steve is always there in the same room. Ladies, do not lay your hands on a male. Never. Not okay. We live in a really weird world right now. Don't do that. Same thing with the men. Do not lay your hands on the ladies, okay? Unless you're standing with your partner, who should be your spouse. Then that way your spouse sees everything that's going on and the person that you're laying hands on is covered. you're protecting three people here. If it's a woman, Steve will be in another room because I don't have somebody always working right next to me. But I encourage all of you who want to do inner healing, do not work on your own. You're only going to cause trouble for yourself. Because if something gets misinterpreted, if something gets blown up, you're the one that will be blamed. So you want to be careful that you're working with someone. And you want to be careful where your hands are. On Zoom, you don't have that problem. So you want to make sure you're doing this the way that I'm telling you, because truthfully, you're safeguarding everybody. So to start out, you're going to notice that I'm going to ask her some questions, and I'll teach while I'm doing this because that's sometimes how I work. And I'll explain things as we go along. However, I'm going to ask you to hold your questions until the very end because we want to get about four different types of individuals up here today. All right. Everybody ready?
Yes.
Good. All right. Hi.
Hi.
Sorry, you're in front of everybody, okay? When I called out some sort of chronic pain with back, neck, knees, what hit you? What's going on?
My knee.
Okay.
So typically when I'm trying to go to sleep at night, I feel pain in my knee.
Okay.
Once in a while, I do feel it at work sometimes, you know, but it's typically before trying to go to sleep.
Okay, so did everybody hear? She has knee problems when she's trying to go to sleep and sometimes when she's at work. So the first thing you do is you pause when you're listening. He's already praying. I'm hearing from God. But this is also a teaching moment, so I'm going to tell you some different things that knees have to do with. Sometimes knees hurt because of jealousy. Not that she's jealous of someone, but someone is jealous of her. The reason being is because the person that is jealous of you is hitting you in the knees to take you to your knees to humble yourself before them. It's false humility. And it's making you bow down to someone. Jealousy is a very weird animal, and it comes in different forms, and it just happens to sometimes hit the knees. Sometimes it's arthritis. And you can go, oh, well, yeah, you got to go to the doctor. Not always, because sometimes arthritis is bitterness. Sometimes. Sometimes it's a lack of vitamin deficiency. How do I know that? Because I'm listening. Not because I've studied this all out. I'm not good at all of that, so I just have to listen. Any of those things ring to you?
I mean, I've had experience with the jealousy.
Jealousy, that's what I thought. So with jealousy. Okay, so what we're going to do is this. It's very simple. Because we're in a group setting and this is a personal thing that I'm not going to ask her to name names out loud. So she already knows who the person is that may be jealous of you. Is that correct?
I think so.
Okay. So you're going to lead the person that you're ministering to in a prayer. It's real simple. Super simple. Anybody can do this. Just say this. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I choose to forgive.
I choose to forgive.
And to release.
And to release.
The individual.
The individual.
That is jealous of me.
That is jealous of me.
And I forgive them as well.
I forgive them as well.
And I ask that you forgive me.
I ask that you forgive me.
If I harbor any resentment toward them.
If I harbor any resentment towards them.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Take a deep breath and let that out. Very good. Why do you do a deep breath? Well, it's kind of a cleansing breath. And it's kind of like this. When Jesus was on the cross, the last thing he did was he took a breath and he said, "It is finished." In other words, it's over with. Can you move your knee?
Mm-hmm. I can move it. So I wonder if tonight will be the, right?
Be the big test.
Yes.
Be the big test?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to also cover one other thing. Sometimes in our sleep, we start recounting things, wrongs that are done, wrongs that we've done, wrongs that somebody else has done. Where does that hit? In the joints. Okay. So here's what we're also going to do. We're going to ask her, when you're laying down to go to sleep at night, do you recount wrongs that are done?
Yes.
Things that are done to you and things that you have done.
Yes.
Okay. Would you please ask the Lord to forgive you by simply saying, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I ask for your forgiveness.
I ask for your forgiveness.
For recounting the wrongs.
For recounting the wrongs.
That were done to me.
That were done to me.
And I repent.
And I repent.
For the wrongs that I have done.
For the wrongs that I have done.
And I release this to you.
I release this to you.
Here's the important part. And I choose to lay all of this at the foot of the cross.
And I choose to lay all of this at the foot of it.
Remind me.
Remind me.
If I start to bring it up.
If I start to bring it.
When I go to sleep at night.
When I go to sleep at night.
Or any other time.
Or any other time.
And I thank you for that, Lord.
And I thank you for that, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Deep breath and let that out. Now, here's one other thing that you might want to cover when working with body parts. Have you ever been in a car accident or any other accident, a running accident, an exercising accident?
As a child, I was in a car accident.
When you were in the accident, were you hurt?
I was young, and my mother covered us up, so I
don't remember it. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's trauma, okay? So here's how you get rid of that. It's again through forgiveness. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I choose to forgive.
I choose to forgive.
The person who caused the accident.
Person who caused the accident.
And again, it's whatever comes to your heart. The person who caused the accident. The person that I was with.
The person I was with.
Any of the medical team.
Any of the medical team.
The officers.
The officers.
The situation.
The situation.
The faultiness of the car.
Faultiness of the car.
I choose to release it all to you.
I choose to release it all to you.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
If I've held any unforgiveness.
If I've held any unforgiveness.
Toward any of these things.
Toward any of these things.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Take another deep breath and let that out. Okay, move your knee a little bit. Okay? Mm-hmm. Do you feel warmth in your knees? Or a tingling sensation?
The only thing, I felt like it was really, I don't know, the feel of it feels different, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, did everybody catch all that?
Yes.
Super simple. Now, why did we do it this way instead of just praying for her knee to be healed? Probably because she's prayed a whole bunch of times for her knee to be healed, and it wasn't healed. Does that mean that she has a lack of faith? No. It means that there was something there blocking the healing between her and God. Oftentimes it's unforgiveness. In fact, I would say 99.9% of the time it's unforgiveness. Amen. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
That was a simple one. It has to do with joints. But the thing is it wasn't simple because it kept bothering her for a long time. Now I'm looking for someone who has lost a child or someone close to them and they just can't get over the death. Someone who has lost someone through death. Anybody? Come on. Was it a child?
My brother.
It was your brother. Okay, this one is a little bit different because you're looking for her reaction when she talks about this. And I can tell you, if you were sitting in my seat right now, you're watching the whole person. You see her head dropping. There's sadness, obviously. And that's not to humiliate her, it's to teach all of you. When somebody dies, there is sadness. So you're watching the reaction of a person. You're watching to see where they're at. How old was your brother when he died?
27.
Was he in an accident?
No, he was. He had pulmonary hypertension and heart disease.
Okay.
And the doctor had said that he lived longer than he should have. He should not have lived passing 2 years old.
Okay. Did your brother know the Lord?
Yes.
Did you get to say goodbye to your brother?
I did.
But it's still hard, right? Okay. I'm going to ask you a question, and you can say no to this, okay? Sometimes when people have passed, we miss them so much. I've gone through this a couple of times. And we just want to say something, but we don't know how. Would you like the Lord to take a message to your brother and tell him how much you miss him? Okay. So we're going to start with this. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Will you take a message?
Will you take a message?
To my brother.
To my brother.
Now, whatever's on your heart, just tell the Lord and he'll take that message.
I'm sorry for not understanding you.
You have to give the person a lot of space because this is a very tender moment. And there can be all kinds of emotions attached to it. Take a deep breath, sweetie, and let it all out. Say, Father.
Father.
Will you let my brother know?
Will you let my brother know?
At the right time.
At the right time.
I'll join him.
I'll join him.
And we'll both live forevermore.
And we'll both live forevermore.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
But I'm placing you in the Lord's hands now.
But I'm placing you in the Lord's hands now.
Take another deep breath and let it all out. Is there anything else that you want to say?
That's it.
The next thing you're going to do in this case, it's not every case, is you want the spirit of death that's attached to it to go. How do I know that there's a spirit of death attached to it? You can tell sometimes by the sadness, but you can also hear from the Holy Spirit. And there's remorse in her. Not that she caused the death, but there's some remorse. And so we've gone past the part of grief. And it's longevity, so it's no longer grief. It is a spirit of death. So we're going to remove that. All you have to do is just take a couple of deep breaths, okay? And I'm going to command this spirit to go, all right? Thank you, Lord. Father, we command this spirit of death to leave now. In Jesus' name, deep breath. Let it all out and every bit of it go. Father, we take full authority over it. You have no power and you have no authority. And you cannot stay in Jesus' name. Take another deep breath and let that out. And Father, we also remove any guilt or shame, despair or depression connected to this. And every bit of it has to go now in Jesus' name. Take another deep breath and let it all out. There we go. Can you look at me? Feel lighter?
I do.
All gone, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was a lot.
There was, yeah. Thank you so much. We're going to cover this now. Father, I ask that you fill her up with joy to overflowing, and you cause her to know life and rejoicing in life, just as her brother is rejoicing in heaven. And I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Another deep breath and just relax.
Amen.
Amen?
Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Is it always that simple? Sometimes. Sometimes it's easier than that. Thank you so much. Thank you. Are you guys getting the hang of this? It's all done by forgiveness. It's not done by interviewing the person and getting every detail. You don't need every detail, but you do need the person to forgive and to release, even themselves. And amazingly enough, some people hold God hostage. But here's, let me tell you something. God's got huge shoulders, and he's okay with you being mad at him at times. He does just fine with it. He knows there's a time and a season where you're also going to ask him to forgive you for holding him hostage. Amen?
Amen.
Yes.
So when you discerned that it was a spirit of death, not a spirit of grief, that's just something that you have to hear. That's not typical of every person. You just have to hear that.
You hear it, but here's the other thing. Grief is only a visitation. Grief comes and goes. Death lingers. and you sit in it, okay, and you never can get over it, because that spirit of death wants you to die as well. It's not time. It's an aggravating spirit. It's something that doesn't just let go. It haunts you. The other thing is this, and I'm watching her. She's very sad. The tears are there. She told him how she felt. She released it. But still, you could tell she was upset. I'll say one other thing, and this is normal with most people. If there's a spirit there, you'll see a part of their body moving. And in her case, her hands were moving like this, just tiny bits. Sometimes it's a leg that's moving tiny bits. Sometimes a person will get completely closed off because it's like that spirit wants to be protected. Let me emphasize this. You are not talking about a person who is possessed. It doesn't matter where the spirit is at. Do not get into that fishy business. If the spirit is there, it's there. Just get rid of it. But the spirit of death does linger for a long time. We went through this when our son died. I had to deal with it myself. There's a grieving period, but then when you keep going on and on and on and you just can't let go, you realize there's something more to it. And so you dismiss that spirit of death. Does that help? Okay. We'll pause here for any other questions about these last two. Yes.
I have many questions. This is for me.
Okay.
So when we do the healing, we always did lay our hands, a man and woman, like shoulder, you know. So why can we do it for the man, like put my hand over?
You can if there's somebody else in the room, but we live in a day and age where all kinds of crazy stuff is said.
Not just by myself, but if we are more, we could do that.
Yeah.
You could ask, can I put my hand on your shoulder?
Okay. You know. Okay. And the other thing, when let's say she had a knee pain, right? Is the Holy Spirit telling you what is, which motions is that comes from? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's how you say it? The Holy Spirit tells you? It's not any book or something, but you could learn, like, with sickness.
No.
Which motion? Okay.
No. What we're doing here is not in a book.
Okay.
You can get information out of books about different healing that people need. There are a lot of great books out there. However, there's nothing like hearing from the Holy Spirit, because then I don't have to go digging through a book and try to remember like countless chapters of a book, okay? And looking it up, it's like, okay, knee, what do I look up here? It's just easier to tap into the Holy Spirit. He never lies. And he doesn't take you on a wild goose chase and you don't have to do 52 things. You just head right in. It's pretty simple. Yeah.
If when you asked her if her brother was saved and she said yes,
mm-hmm.
What if that guy diverted to know? How do you minister to that at that point?
We ask the Lord to give her comfort if she knows for sure, but most people don't know for sure that they're not saved. In other words, only the person that died knows whether they're saved or not. Do not get into a, well, did they say the sinner's prayer? Did they do that? Don't do that. Sometimes the Lord will tell them, but I have to hear that the Lord wants to tell them whether the person is with him or not. Person is already saddened enough. Why bombard them with any more? So if she would have said, I don't believe my brother is, I would have simply said, you know, there may have been a time or place where he did accept the Lord. So let's do this. Let's just ask the Lord to heal these wounds that are in you. Sometimes the Lord has you ask. You don't always have to ask. I'm going to say this, and you can all think what you want, but I work with women who have lost babies, either by the death of a child, abortion, unknown causes, whatever it is. And the Lord is faithful, and he's allowed these women to go to heaven to see their children. And you can say, well, but look, God is sovereign. If he wants to take somebody to heaven and show them their child, he gets to do that. Children automatically go to heaven. They automatically do. And I know that's true. I have three there. Actually, now I have four. Just three were babies. And I can tell you, when the women, the husbands, the boyfriends, whatever it is, that have gone through this, the women and the men, it is a relief for them to be able to see that child, even if it's just for a few moments. Does that mean it happens every time? No. It's only as the Lord leads. There are other people who have lost loved ones in death, and they didn't say goodbye. And there's a way to handle that, and it's real simple. You have that person do something that is very healing. Have that person write a letter, not in front of you, But after you've prayed with them, you tell them, write a letter to your loved one, whoever it is, saying goodbye. Mm-hmm. Say all the things you want to say. When my grandparents, they were killed in an automobile accident, I had to do that, and it was a hospice pastor that told me. I wrote them a letter. I took it out to a park, and I read it to them. I asked Jesus, I said, will you take my letter to them? He did. I went back to see the hospice pastor a few days later. He said, how'd you do? I said, I wrote this letter. It took me a week to write it. But it was everything from, I'm mad because you left. I'm mad because the person that you hit, they got off scot-free. I was mad about everything. And I was also mad because I was still here on earth. And after I wrote this whole letter, he said, did you read it out loud? I said, yes. He said, good, now I'll pray for you. And he came against the spirit of death and destruction in my life. And it was just like, phew, it was gone. Any questions about those subjects?
Question.
Yes.
When you said, because I still have a hard time accepting that I am mad at God. You know, because some of you, like you said, he can do whatever he wants. And right now when you said that you were mad because you were still on earth, that happened. You know, when you said it right now, it resonated with me.
You're mad because you're still here on earth.
I was in heaven. I didn't want to be here.
Sit down. I'm not going to ask Lula to share her story. I know her story, and I know it's pretty traumatic. But I will say this. Lula's gone through a lot in her life, a lot of hurt.
I was just mad at him because I hear stories where he's like, oh, you want to go back to Earth? Oh, you want to stay? How come you didn't ask me that? He threw me back again. And I remember I opened my eyes, and I opened the windows. And I said, no, take me back. I don't want to be here.
You didn't want to be here on earth?
Yeah. Okay. Because for the first time I experienced freedom. I didn't have any pain or any thought.
No memories of the past?
None. And when he threw me back, I'm like, how come you didn't ask me?
Well, how would you like to ask him? Let's ask him to tell you why you're here on earth instead of with him. Okay? In this case, the inner healing is because she's sad and upset because she had the opportunity to be free, but the Lord had her come back to earth. That can be hard, especially when you've gone through a lot of trauma. But here's the thing. God's really good about answering questions. So I'm going to ask you all just to softly pray in the Spirit, not very loud, because this is a little different. And we're going to ask the Lord to speak to Lula and tell her why he sent her back. And all you have to do, Lula, is just listen to what the Lord is speaking. You may hear something, you may feel something, you may see something, but however the Lord speaks to you, he will do that today because he doesn't want you to be in pain over this any longer. God loves us. And the last thing he wants us to do is to suffer and be in pain over something. Okay? Take a deep breath, sweetie, and let it all out. Keep your eyes closed so that you're just kind of focused on what God is speaking. Father, you've heard Lula's crying, and she's asking you why. Why, Lord, did you have her come back to earth when she was in the heavenly realms with you? Why did you do that, Lord?
He's showing me a dream that I had.
Tell me about the dream, sweetie.
It was in the house where I was a sex slave. It's dark, and there's horsemen that are making sure that nobody comes out, the evil ones. And I'm able to escape, and I'm crossing the street, making sure that they don't see me. And on my shoulders, it's a baby blanket. It's really white. And it has like little figurines, like a baby blanket, but it's really bright and I'm afraid that they're gonna see it and kill me. So I was able to run across and then I stayed against the wall so they won't see me. And in the corner, somebody opened a door. And when I walked in, it was dark and I was trying to feel my way around. And then the lights came on and they said, we've been waiting for you. That's all.
Lily, in your dream, is that what happened in real life?
That I escaped from that house, yes.
With the blanket and everything?
No.
Did you end up in another house where they said they were waiting for you?
No.
I'm going to pause here. I want to explain something. I don't want to go into a lot of detail, but there was a time in Lula's life where she was held captive and used and abused. So her dream is about escaping from that captivity. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, and I'm going to ask the Lord to show you who those people are in that room. Father, I ask that you show Lula who the people are in the room in her dream that she escaped to.
There were people that were, they escaped as well, and there was a safe place.
Father, I ask that you show Lula what her job is in that room.
Working with them.
Thank you.
We're setting up tables and chairs for the people that are coming to be able to help them.
Lord, I ask that you show Lula if her job is complete here on this earth now.
No. It's just the beginning of what he has for me.
Good. And Father, I ask that you show Lula if there's anything else that you want to tell her right now.
Not to be afraid of him.
Are you afraid of him? It's okay.
Someone's already being mad at him because he didn't leave me at home with him. And I'm holding that against him.
Do you think you
can
forgive him?
Not out loud, but in my heart.
So do you think you can forgive him now? Now that you know?
Yes.
Okay. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I forgive you.
I forgive you.
For not keeping me in heaven.
For not keeping me in heaven.
I ask that you forgive me.
I ask that you forgive me.
For holding it against you.
For holding it against you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Another deep breath, honey. And let it out. One more deep breath. And let it out. And spirit of death, you need to leave now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And all the disappointment and all the hurt, go now. In Jesus' name. Another deep breath and let that out. Okay, look up, Lula. Better?
Yeah.
You want me to give you a little bit more understanding with your dream?
Yeah.
The white blanket, it's a mantle of righteousness and purity that he's restored to you when he took you out of that situation. The bright colors in the shawl around your neck, the blanket, those are the colors of the heavenlies. That's the anointing on your life to bring that purity and righteousness to all those women and men, whoever he puts you in front of, that have had these things happen to them. There's a lot of them out there, Lula. You have a huge call in your life.
So I was very afraid for them to see me. I remember that very clearly.
Yeah.
But, you know, you will think a normal person reasoning, just take it off. But it didn't cross my mind, but I was afraid, and I knew that I had to protect her somehow. Like, yeah. I just instantly knew.
It's because you have a gift. Amen? All right. Thank you. Let me explain to you what happened here. I could interpret the dream for her and tell her why she was in the room and everything else, but see, there's nothing like hearing that from the Lord yourself. And so you have to absolutely trust that she's going to hear from the Lord and that you're going to hear from the Lord. This is where the trust factor comes in. She didn't get to stay in heaven because she has a work that's not completed here on earth, and the call in her life is very strong. The mantle on her life is a mantle of purity, which is rarely seen like that. It's the innocence of a child. That little baby blanket is why it's purity, and the bright colors laced in it are the colors of heaven. And the Lord wanted her to understand that he's restored that purity to her after all she's been through. And then removing that spirit of death, because that's where she wanted to stay. It's not time. So again, it's a deceit of the enemy to say to her, you should be mad because you didn't get to stay. When the reality is God has a beautiful plan. Amen? Any questions about this? Okay, you're all doing all right? Some of this hitting home for some of you? Good. All right, everybody take a deep breath and let all that out. Megan, I asked Megan last night if she would do this for me. Megan has been through a lot. Megan has been sober a year as of yesterday. Megan has been through a lot in her life as well. And one of the things that Megan has been through is abuse. So I'm going to show you how you would work with somebody who's been through abuse. Take lots of deep breaths. When you bring up the word abuse, it triggers a whole bunch of stuff inside of a person. Whole bunch of stuff. So usually they start crying immediately, like Megan's doing, or they get very nervous and jittery, or they get very protective, and you'll see a lot of clutching and not wanting to move. You ready? What we're doing is we're going to remove another layer of abuse from Megan's life. She's had a lot of this removed already, but every once in a while something crops up and she'll have a memory. And you can say, if you've already done it, why do you have to do it again? It's because quite often things are done in layers. Can you imagine your whole life passing before your eyes and you have to forgive everybody and every incident and every situation? And it's like you'd be a mess afterwards. So God is very faithful in doing things in layers and helping the person to walk through this. It's okay if they cry. Don't panic. And I don't instantly grab them and hug them because, see, they don't need me to hug them. God is doing a work. Sometimes you'll feel like you need to hug them. Check with God again to make sure, because sometimes your hugging can interfere with God's hugging. So you want to make sure that you're doing the right thing. All right? Is everybody doing okay? Because some of you have been through abuse, and I know that. Everybody take another deep breath because we're going to get rid of some of that today. Okay? So if this pertains to you, all you're going to have to do is, while we're removing this layer of abuse from Megan's life, all you have to do is, in your heart, do the same thing that Megan is doing. Do not, I repeat, do not start saying names out loud. In other words, Fred abused me. Don't go there. That's not for today. That's something that I would do with Megan privately. She would say a name, okay, and we would work on that individual. But Megan probably already has a name. And so now we're going to get rid of this abuse. Abuse, if done enough, opens a wound. The wound eventually entertains a spirit. All right, you ready? Megan, I want you to not think about the time or what happened in the abuse just yet. If God shows you, that's okay. But what I want you to do is, I'm assuming you already have a person that you want to forgive. Is that correct? Good. I'm going to ask the Lord if he wants to show you anything about that time. And if he wants to show you something, he will. And if not, we'll go on, okay? Deep breath. Father, I ask that you show Megan if there's anything about this situation and this person that you want to show her.
Sometimes I think that I instigated it.
Okay. So there's guilt. Shame. Embarrassment. Where am I getting those words from the Lord? I'm going to ask the Lord if you have anything to be guilty, embarrassed about, or feel shameful about. And you'll hear what he has to say. So, Father, would you show Megan if there's anything that she has to feel guilty, shameful, or embarrassed about? What's he saying, Megan?
I just used to be really angry and really mean. And I'm not supposed to feel that way. And he doesn't want me to.
So say, Father.
Father.
I repent of the anger.
I repent of the anger.
And for being mean.
And for being mean.
But it had nothing to do.
But it had nothing to do.
With the abuse I received.
With the abuse I received.
But I repent.
But I repent.
For those actions.
For those actions.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Take a deep breath and let it all out. If I opened any doors.
If I opened any doors.
Through being angry.
Through being angry.
And mean.
And mean.
That the enemy walked in.
That the enemy walked in.
I ask that you close them.
I ask that you close them.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Another deep breath. And let that out. Father, I ask that you show Megan if there's anything else there that you want to speak to her about in regards to this particular abuse.
I just don't get why I kept going back.
Okay. So she said she can't figure out why she kept going back to the person that abused her. That's a common question, but every answer is different. So we're going to ask the Lord to share that answer with you. What we're doing now is we're getting to the root of the problem. So, Father, I ask that you show Megan why she kept returning.
I just wanted to feel loved.
So you probably can't hear her answer, but she said, because I just want it to feel loved. Father, I ask that you show Megan if this is love, to be abused. Is that a no?
No.
Father, I ask that you show Megan what love is.
Well, here, that doesn't have to be earned.
That's good. Okay, her answer, for those of you who can't hear, was love is something that doesn't have to be earned. It's unconditional. So, Megan, can you forgive this abuser completely now?
Please.
Say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I choose to forgive this person.
I choose to forgive this person.
Completely.
Completely.
And I forgive myself.
And I forgive myself.
Where I've held myself hostage.
Where I've held myself hostage.
And I choose to release myself.
And I choose to release myself.
To be truly loved by you.
To be truly loved by you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Another deep breath. And let that out. And for all of you in this room who were abused, another deep breath and let that out if you have forgiven that abuser. Thank you, Lord. How you doing, Megan?
A little lightheaded.
Some of you will be feeling lightheaded. That's a good thing. That means all that stuff is leaving. Lightheaded is really good. But you don't want to leave an empty head. So we're going to fill it. Father, I ask that you fill Megan with your love, with your peace to overflowing. And I thank you for that, Lord. And spirit of abuse, you have no grounds to stay any longer. In Jesus' name, another deep breath and let that out. Thank you, Lord. Better?
Amen.
Okay. Whenever you're working with people, and we've worked with a few people today, there's a prescription that everybody gets. It's a standard prescription. Everybody gets the same prescription. Prayer, worship, and the Word of God.
How often?
At least 3 times a day until you feel real relaxed. Mm-hmm. Okay? Probably for the next week. Okay? There's something else that we do. A lot of people don't know who they are. They need a foundation. They need to have God's love. They need to know who they really are in Christ. So we give them some scriptures that we call the I Am scriptures. Where did we get these? From the Lord, okay? Megan has copies. Everybody gets one today. Here's what you do with those. Find 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever you want on this page. If you want to rewrite them on the slips of paper, post them on places that you're going to see, your refrigerator, a mirror, wherever. It builds your spirit man up. When you walk by, 3 times a day, say those things over yourself out loud. It dispels the darkness and it causes your soul, your mind, will, and emotions to line up with the Spirit of God as far as who you are. Any questions about this? No questions? Everybody doing all right?
Question. So you have to be appointed to be a healer?
No.
Oh.
No.
Like, how do you get started? Like,
well, I think you got started in your dream.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Because, you know, I thought it was just me. When I read the Bible, you know, I get excited about just hearing about the miracles. And I remember I said to the Lord, I want to do this. But then I heard, like, be careful what you ask, because there's a payment. You have to pay for the anointing.
Yeah.
But, like, do you get appointed? Do you?
There are people who God calls into deep healing. We're part of that team. There are people that pray for others who have a healing gift, and there's several of you called to that. Dave left. Our miracle signs and wonders guy stepped out for a few moments, but he's paid a huge price for the anointing on his life. We should all desire the gifts, but here's the thing. We can all pray for somebody else's healing, and we teach this because it's part of a healing anointing. It's part of a healing area that people need to know. There are people coming that are broken and bruised and battered, and hey, what are you going to do? Put them in a healing line and hope for the best? It doesn't work that way. Some of these people have been deeply hurt by other people and the church, and they need to be ministered to. They need to be loved. And so we should all know how to work with people and minister to them. This is part of training and equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Some are called into a deeper level, that's all. And as far as paying for the anointing, yeah. But unless you know that you're called to something, I wouldn't worry about it. In your case, you're called to something pretty deep. I think you've paid a price already, don't you?
Yes.
Good.
The fear that I had, it was... Remember when I first came to you? I was so many attacks and I didn't know why.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And right now when you pray for the spirit of death to go away, this eye was twitching really bad and it all stopped. And I feel it like it left already.
It's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Like, I'm like, it's not twitching anymore. And I've been struggling with it for a long time.
Amen. Amen.
How's everybody doing so far? Okay, we have one more person who's hiding. Hi, Miss Sharon. Come on over. We're going to pretend like I don't know Sharon and that she came because she wants to talk to someone today about something that's going on in her life. So I just let her in the house and she's having a seat. We are just chatting and being comfy. You want to make sure whoever you're working with is comfy. You don't just go in after the attack. So what can I help you with?
Right now, I feel like I have a spirit of cancer just in my whole life. So many people in my family.
So can you tell me what's going on?
Lost one sister to breast cancer, watched another go through a devastating treatment for breast cancer, and now have a third sister diagnosed with the same disease.
Okay, so she's talking about 3 sisters who have all had cancer of some sort. So when you hear repetitiveness in a family, the first thing you start asking about is the generations. Did your mother or grandmother or generations before you and your siblings, did anybody have cancer?
My grandmother died of cancer.
Your grandmother died of cancer? Okay. Was there anybody else?
Not that I'm completely aware of. A lot of separation, a lot of early deaths.
A lot of early death.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that information, I'm going to stop here and ask, has anybody figured this out yet? She has 3 sisters and a grandmother who had cancer. A lot of early deaths in her family. Anybody have any thoughts on what this might be?
Generational curse.
Generational curse. Yeah.
Okay. What else is there in this family?
Spirit of the plague.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have two things here. So here's your next question. Are you concerned that's going to fall on you?
No.
Good. Okay, what if she would have said yes? We'd still do what we're going to do. Okay. So we're going to break this generational curse. We're going to come against the spirit of death. And we're going to have her release all her siblings to the Lord. Whether they know the Lord or not has nothing to do with it. We're going to release them to the Lord. Let me tell you something. I'm always amazed when I'm working with someone who says their friend, their loved one, their sibling, whatever, didn't know the Lord. Remember, I talked about this a little while ago. And I say, well, at times I felt impressed to ask them, to ask God if this person is with them. And I'm always amazed how many people are with the Lord. Always amazed. And I'll tell you, you don't know what happened to this person before they died. When my grandparents, they were in an automobile accident. They both were in the hospital for a period of time. They both accepted Christ on their deathbed. I know, I was the one that led them. My grandfather was paralyzed and he squeezed my hand. My grandmother was also paralyzed. She couldn't speak, she couldn't move, but a tear rolled out of her eye. How do I know it was real? A year later, the Lord brought them to me in a vision, an open vision on Christmas Day, and said, "We just want to wish you a Merry Christmas." So you don't know. So before you count it all loss, you have to count it as joy that the Lord may have touched their life. Do not ever leave somebody hopeless. We just don't know. And that's important. Okay? This will be painless, I promise. Okay. We're going to break a generational curse first. So say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I stand before you.
I stand before you.
As a representative.
As a representative.
Of the generations before me.
Of the generations before me.
I repent.
And?
On their behalf.
On their behalf.
For anything.
For anything.
That would have caused.
That would have caused.
A spirit of infirmity.
A spirit of infirmity.
Connected to cancer.
Connected to cancer.
Or any other sickness or disease.
Or any other sickness or disease.
That would have let those things in.
That would have let those things in.
I ask. That you forgive them.
That you forgive them.
And the generations after me.
And the generations after me.
Down to and including 1,000 generations.
Down to and including 1,000 generations.
And if you should tarry.
And if you should tarry.
Someone after me.
Someone after me.
In my generation.
In my generations.
Will repeat this prayer.
Will repeat this prayer.
And that spirit of infirmity.
And that spirit of infirmity.
Will never come back.
Will never come back.
It has no power.
Has no power.
And no authority.
And no authority.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Take a deep breath. And we command this generational curse broken. Every bit of it gone. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Feeling a little lighter.
Yeah,
a little. Okay.
A little heat.
Yeah, a little heat in your heart.
Yeah.
Good. Now we're going to get rid of the spirit of death.
Okay.
Say, Father.
Father.
I also ask.
I also ask.
That you forgive the generations before me.
That you forgive the generations before me.
And anyone in my generation.
And anyone in my generation.
That is in agreement.
That is in agreement.
That death.
Deaths
will come through infirmities.
Will come through infirmities.
Sickness, disease, cancer.
Sickness, disease, cancer.
I ask that you forgive.
Absolutely forgive us.
And that you eradicate.
And you that you eradicate
a spirit of death.
A spirit of death
from my life.
From my life.
And if you should tarry.
And if you should tarry.
Someone in the generations after me.
Someone in the generations after
me. Will repeat this prayer.
Will repeat this prayer.
In Jesus'
name. In Jesus' name.
Take another deep breath. And I command that to be released and broken off now. In Jesus' name. Did you have something? It's important that you check with your prayer person.
Thank you, Lord.
You picked up something. Okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Doing better than okay or just okay?
I'm doing better than okay. may take a little time to remind me that I have literally stood on this.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask the Lord to remind you.
Yes.
Okay. Oftentimes when things happen, it's very easy for us to go back into it and start thinking about it all over again. And then we start entertaining it. It's like, well, why did you do that? So what we're going to do is we're going to ask the Lord, if she starts to entertain any of these thoughts, worries, fears, concerns about this, that he's going to gently remind her, that's done, okay? So, Father, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that if Sharon should stir up memories, thoughts, worries, concerns about cancer, sickness, disease, and death, again, that you remind her you've taken care of it. And I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. Another deep breath. Let that out. How are you doing?
Doing good, but I have a question.
Yes.
So the spirit of death, the generational curses, but the disease is still there in my sister right now.
Oh, we're going to take care of that. We're going to pray for her, okay? So here's the thing. She said, but the cancer is still there in my sister. Her sister is battling cancer. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray. We're going to pray that she is healed in some manner. And that if she's not going to be healed, in other words, if she's not healed on this earth, she's not going to leave this earth until she knows Jesus, okay? Now, how do I know that she's going to know Jesus before she leaves this earth? I'm trusting him. Mm-hmm. Are you all in agreement that her sister's going to know Jesus before
she leaves?
Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes. Okay. I think it's a done deal.
Except
Father, right now, what's your sister's name?
Anita.
Anita. Father, right now, we lift up Anita to you.
Yes, Lord.
And we come against cancer, sickness, yes, disease, yes, in her body. We say no to it in the name of Jesus. We declare her body is off limits,
yes,
to
Lord,
the devil. And to every sickness, disease, and every form of cancer, and cell of cancer that there is. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would eradicate this disease from her body. And Father, if for some reason she is not healed on this earth, we know she will be healed in the heavenlies, but we ask that she not leave this earth until she know you. No matter what she says today, how she reacts today, we're standing in faith, all 30 of us,
Lord,
believing that Anita will know you before she leaves this earth. And I thank you, Lord, that Sharon can rejoice as her sister goes home. Wow.
Yeah.
To be with the Lord. Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow. I heard that plain as day.
Amen. Okay.
And the minute you said it, I went, I heard it too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you for that.
Anything else?
That's a lot for right now.
Okay. Doesn't take that much in 19 minutes. Okay. Hopefully you got something. We'll be around for questions, and the ministry team will be around for prayer if any of you need prayer.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, Sparks from God's Heart. We hope his words kindle some fresh fire in your heart today. Remember, all the teaching notes and other podcasts can be found at heartsoffireinternational.com. Come back often and make sure you subscribe. Stephen Varver would love to hear from you.